Good morning. You can remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning, this rainy Sunday morning. It's good to have each of you here this morning, and we want to especially welcome those that are visiting with us today. We hope that you will indeed feel welcome here at Main Street. And if you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that church home. If you will give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So as we pass those attendance pads down, if you would do so, we would appreciate that greatly. Our Wednesday night gatherings will not start up again until January the 14th, so you can put that on your calendars for the beginning of our Wednesday night gatherings. Also, next Sunday, after the 11 o'clock service, next Sunday, January the 4th, we will be undecorating the church from our Christmas season. So everyone, please stay around after the 11 o'clock service and help us undecorate the church next Sunday afternoon. Our WARM project, which is Weatherization and Repair Ministry, will be held this Friday and Saturday, January 2nd and 3rd. We will be working on 9 homes throughout the community, helping to winterize and repair those homes. We have over 70 volunteers who will be working on those homes. We will be gathering here at the church at 7 o'clock each morning. If you have not already signed up, that's fine. You can still come and join us. More hands will help us to get more done during those 2 days. So please join us on Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock here at the church as we continue with our WARM project to help those in need in our community. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand for our call to worship. Listen, do you hear the sounds of joy? Have you heard the messenger's good news?
Jesus, the Word, has come to dwell among us.
Break forth into singing, people of God. Your comfort and your salvation are at hand. Sing a new song and marvel at God's ways. Make a joyful noise through all the earth. Speak to us again, God of glory, for we are slow to hear. Remind us of the good news, for we are prone to forget. Take us to see Jesus, for we have lost our way. We are weary and worn. We cry out for the truth that is eternal. O God, grant us the joy of your presence and the assurance of your steadfast love. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together in celebration of the Word made flesh. Amen. It is a high and holy moment when we celebrate the sacrament of baptism. And I will invite Lindsay and John Lawrence forward, and those they have invited will stand with them for the baptism of their son, Evan John. Please see the insert in your bulletin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Evan John Lawrence for baptism, and I do ask Lindsay and John these questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Evan in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and to profess his faith openly and to lead the Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Evan and his parents now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Evan with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let's join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. For all, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. He can hardly wait. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness and throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
7, John. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Not good at this here. I have 3 grandchildren, but I'm having a hard time with the transfer.
Now, Evan, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We're all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome him as a member of the family of Christ. Now, members of the household of God, I commend Evan John Lawrence into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal joy in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. It is important to remember that at baptism, promises are made not only by the parents, but also by the entire congregation as we claim the promises of God.
Our Old Testament reading comes to us from the book of Isaiah, Chapter 61, verse 10, through Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 3, discusses the year of the Lord's favor and Zion's new name. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteous and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of God.
Lord.
Our epistle reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Paul is speaking of the sons of God. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. These are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We do invite you down to the altar for personal prayer time. We'll have a time of silence in the middle of the prayer. If you'd like to come forward, please come forward now as I mention some of our concerns. Please continue to be in prayer for Billy Tunstall, who has been in the hospital for the past several days in Greenville, has upcoming surgery. For Miriam Aylwine, for Jim Garner, recovering from surgery, Ann Rogers, who is home from the hospital, Steve Alexander, recovering from a second eye surgery, and Jim and Kathy Kelly's grandbaby scheduled to be here today or soon. We hope. Also, for John and Georgia Deloach's son, who is being deployed this week to Iraq. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, you have poured out your love into our hearts in this season of our Savior's birth. And this love we claim and possess as our own, we pray that you guide us to use it to witness to you, not just for our comfort, but for the comfort of others. We praise you, Father, for all that you have given us. And let your gifts not wither within us, but grow and multiply in this new year to come in ways we have not yet imagined. Let us be open to the movement of your Spirit as we reach out from this church and continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that we possess different gifts and talents, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways we serve, but the same Lord we serve. Help us each find our mutual ministry and guide us to serve you in this upcoming year as best we can and are equipped and called to do. Each according to our different abilities and gifts, but for the one purpose of building up the cause of Christ and your kingdom. As we look forward to the season of Epiphany, celebrating Jesus, revealing God's nature to the world, keep our minds searching the mystery of your deep Spirit, your deep love and grace. Focus our hearts and minds on the depths and mystery of divine love that comes to us in poverty, to grant us great riches. We pray now for those whose hearts are not gladdened by the knowledge of God in Christ. Give us deeds and words and lives to live before them and witness the reality of the good news. We pray for our ministry concerns now, for those in illness, for those home recovering, for those who are mourning, and for ourselves, our families, and our private concerns. We lift them up now. And a moment of silent prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come to the chancel for the children's message.
No? There'd be less chance of lawsuit if I use him as the example here. How many of y'all have ever participated in a three-legged race? Anybody? You know what a three-legged race is? Okay, you two were the first one, so you stand up. Okay? All right. I'm going to let y'all do that. That might get me out of the lawsuit. Tie your middle legs together. I'll let you do that. Right above the knees. Right above the knees. Well, above the knees. That makes it good. Yeah, pretty tight, pretty tight. So you end up having three legs. And while they're doing that, I hope this makes sense. We have a baptism today, and we have a little-known scripture that happened 8 days after Jesus' birth, in which he was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. I'm talking to y'all and the big kids. For a rite of circumcision and a naming ritual, just as baptism is for babies. And there's something I wanted you to understand about baptism. The whole idea about a whole community and a ritual gathering around to claim a child and to claim God's promises. It's sort of like a three-legged race. You have the baby and you have the parents making promises. We extort promises from them and we expect them to keep them. And the congregation. And that's the part that people read out of the book and sometimes don't think. It's a three-legged race, baptism. It takes an entire community of faith and the child and the parents for baptism to work. And I'm going to show you about what that means. Now, and it takes cooperation in all three. Now, y'all try to go down this aisle. Try to go down this aisle without, okay, all right. Well, doggone it. I'm not going to tell them to run. I'm afraid heads on pews and then we'll be in trouble. Okay, all right, come back. All right, now they're stumbling a little bit. Y'all come back. All right. Come on back. All right, now as they get a little, they're pulling against each other. It's not quite as easy. Well, the whole point was to be two rough and tumble boys fall down if they don't cooperate. And these boys are just especially cooperative. Just imagine in your mind's eye it had worked the other way. Okay, that's good. Yes, the ideal of baptism is that the congregation, and I love the fact that we do here have the prayer warriors ministry, in which you already have a prayer warrior, you have someone who's praying for you and your child, and I think that is a wonderful thing. And the entire congregation should be praying for each young family, for each child baptized, and to make sure that we have programs and ministries and Sunday school and vacation Bible school and all different programs for the children to be brought into the faith. Until that point, we reach confirmation around age 12 when they accept the faith and profess it, proclaim it for themselves. Baptism is a lifelong event, not just a one-time thing. We spend all of our lives figuring out what it means to be claimed by God and to claim God's promises. So let's all hold hands. And when I do the prayer, y'all don't have to repeat after me because I'm not sure what I'm going to say till I say it. Everybody hold somebody's hand, even if it's a boy. There. Okay. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your great promises. We do thank you for your great love, for your forgiveness, for claiming us as your children, and for giving us a family in your church. Help us intentionally be a family to each other, to support each other, to help one another grow in our Christian faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Now let us cautiously, I've been hearing a lot of coughing today, pass the peace from this far away. Let us pass the peace.
Thank you.
gospel lesson is one of the more forgotten lessons from Luke, the second chapter, beginning with verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you made it through Christmas. A cartoon in the New Yorker magazine. You have to picture it. In the middle of the floor is a dried up, withered Christmas tree, and the calendar on the wall reads December the 26th. Dad is sitting in the chair with an ice pack on his head. Mom's in a bathrobe with her hair and curlers, and the floor is a virtual mountain of torn wrapping paper and boxes and bows. And Junior is reaching in his stocking to be sure there's no more candy. And in the background, we see a table with a thoroughly picked turkey still sitting there. And the caption on the cartoon reads simply, "The morning after." I hope yours was better than that. I read a story about an 8-year-old girl who had a very disappointing Christmas. She didn't get the gift she hoped for. She got in arguments with her brother. And when she was fighting with her brother, her mother walked in at exactly the wrong time and blamed her for the fight. So then she took out her anger on the cat, got caught doing that too, and got sent to bed early on Christmas night. And when she was praying the Lord's Prayer that night, as was her custom, she changed it a little bit. She said, "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." I hope yours was better than that, too. But I guess it is better to over-expect than it is to under-expect. I was looking for some ideas for this message, for some illustrations, and I found a quote, and I am amazed that this came from the positive, motivational speaker and coach, Lou Holtz, but it did. And concerning Christmas, I think he's a loser. When Lou Holtz was in Arkansas, he was taking his team to play a bowl game in Tempe, Arizona. And the game was scheduled for Christmas Day, and a reporter asked him how he felt about being at a game instead of with his family on Christmas Day. And he answered, "I would rather be in Tempe. After all, once you've been to church, had Christmas dinner, and opened the presents,
Christmas is the most boring day of the year. I thought, how sad. We spend months and months building up expectations, and then, well, reality is many of us live out Lou Holtz's game plan perfectly. But surely there is something more than a few moments of excitement followed by boredom. All this expectancy. And then what? The promises and the expectations of Christmas as they are presented on TV, the promise of earthly bliss, cannot be kept. But many of us go into debt trying. Mary and Joseph kept getting more than they expected. Over and over, they kept getting more than they expected, not less. I don't believe that Mary and Joseph were expecting very much when they went to the temple for the traditional ritual to claim the promises of the old covenant. You know, circumcision was a ritual of naming of the male child and also of claiming the promises of God. In the same way, we have baptism. Just as circumcision was the door of the old covenant, baptism is the door into the new covenant. Naming is a component of infant baptism. And claiming is the other. Claiming God's grace, God's promises, and extracting new promises from the parents and from you, the congregation. The name given Jesus in Hebrew was Yeshua. And it means Yahweh, the proper name of God. Yahweh saves. And the Hebrew rendering of it, though, is not so exotic. It's just simply Joshua. The English rendering of the Hebrew name of Jesus is simply Joshua. That's not an unusual name. It was and is a very common name. The most extraordinary birth in history comes wrapped in a very ordinary name. And he passed through the ordinary door into the covenant of Abraham. Now, our names may not be extraordinary either, but we are baptized, most of us here today, and we are claimed by God, and we have extraordinary potential, each and every one of us, in unique and personal ways. You know, baptism is a tremendously personal act, and it is also a completely public act at the same time. God touches us with His grace, and both family and church make lifelong promises to support the baptized in their journey through time, wherever their journey takes them. God keeps God's promises, and we are expected to keep ours as well. Naming and claiming. Now, I have a funny story from just a couple of weeks ago. Now, Rudy has already heard it, and my wife has told me already twice, don't do it, and then don't do it again. But I'm going to do it anyway. It's a story about names, but about usernames that allow you to get into your accounts on the computer. How many of you are really, really tired of having to remember your usernames to get into a catalog site, into your banking site, into a newspaper you read online, into your various email addresses? Tired of remembering those usernames and then not remembering them and having to go through all the challenge questions of what is your mother's maiden name, what is the name of your first dog, the make of your first car. I've just decided to always remember my mother's maiden name and forget my username. I have to go through it almost every time. My memory is just that bad. Well, 2 weeks ago, my old friend of mine and I were setting up some webcams, and we were doing it over the internet and trying different software to see what works the best. His son's off at college, and my wife is soon going to be working out of town much of the week, and I want to see my grandkids more often, even if it's on a computer screen. So we're setting up these webcams. I gave one daughter and one son webcams for Christmas, whether they wanted them or not. I wanted them to have them. I'm going to see them some way or another. Anyway, we were setting them up, and there is a component of Google where you can use a webcam for free. And my friend had a Gmail account, a Google Mail account, but he forgot his username. And he typed in his first name and last initial and wasn't paying much attention. An email address popped up, and then a challenge question popped up because his password wasn't working. And he got the challenge question, and it was one that he didn't really recognize. It was, what is your least favorite fruit? And he thought about it. He said, I don't ever remember using my least favorite fruit. But he typed in mango, and that was it. So he got in, he changed the password, and then all of a sudden it popped up all his friends and family, and his friends and family, the last names were almost exclusively Chinese. And most of them were Wongs, and he realized it was not his email account. He had accidentally hacked in to somebody else who doesn't like mangoes. And he changed it, so then there was no way to contact the man because he never knew what the password was from begin with. And he said, Perry said, at least we've got the webcams set up. And I said, but of course, you know, two Wongs don't make a right. But that's true. It actually happened. But names are important. God calls us by name, knows us personally. And so often we sort of think when we have a baptism or confirmation or something that it's just us and the church, us and the church. No, God is involved. We invoke the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. God knows us personally, not as just member of Main Street UMC number 1124 on a pledge card. God knows our inner soul, our every thought, and our abilities and our unique wisdom we have gained from pain. God knows what we are capable of. Simeon and Anna are a pair of witnesses who knew who Jesus was. This almost forgotten pair of old folks faithfully waited on God's promise of a Messiah. And some of you are going to go home and look in your Bible and see if they're really in there in the second chapter of Luke because you've never heard about them before. They just get skipped over. They are certainly long gone and dead by the time Jesus was grown and in his ministry. But what a wonderful thing to know that you were welcomed at your birth. I remember an older couple. I don't remember their names, but an older couple. I remember them because I was jealous. They took a liking to one of my younger brothers, Michael. And they would take him fishing on their pontoon boat, and they would come at every little skit and play and sing along that he had in kindergarten, which I had to go and endure as well. And this older couple just loved my little brother. He was about 3, 4, 5 years old. And they weren't even kin. And they would bring him gifts. They would come to his, school things. It was a good thing to have some folks who were not even related to you care for you. Anna and Simeon waited for and delighted in baby Jesus and had no relationship with him before that and not much after. You folks who are here now in your 70s and 80s and 90s, you can delight in and pray for and make welcome the youngest of the children among us. The influence of love and welcome in a community is vitally important, even if you're not personally here to see the fruit of your love and welcome. Faith is in God's unseen future. Simeon and Anna seemed to understand who Jesus was even better than Mary and Joseph. It was odd to me that Mary and Joseph, they handled the shepherd's adoration pretty well in Luke, but we're told they were amazed by Simeon's announcement, and Anna joins in on that, where he said, "My eyes have seen God's salvation." He grabbed the baby out of her arms. "Salvation which he has prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Imagine a man waiting for death, but one more thing promised to him before he dies. He will see with his own eyes God's Messiah, God's Savior, or as the Hebrew tradition called him, the consolation of Israel. That's what that means. Please remember just how dark the world was back then. In occupied, military-occupied Jerusalem, Jews like Simeon were under constant threat of violence. Military superpowers barely tolerated their existence, mocked their beliefs. Mistrust and political intrigue and money and bribery and abuse of power and local sellouts profiting at their own people's expense. No one knew who to trust, and everyone thought the whole thing might blow up at any moment. This is the world Simeon waited in to see God's Messiah. It's 2,000 years later. How long will it take before we see? We cannot, of our own initiative, can never bring peace. Not with our own best intentions, not with our own powerful armies, not with the greatest unity of nations or the cleverest of leaders. We as a people, as a humanity, are fatally flawed. Fallen from the image of God, we cry peace, but there is no peace. We cry, God, save my people, my nation, my children, and so does the other side, and so does the other side. We need a Savior above and beyond all nations. We still need a Savior. Poor Mary, frightened by angels, submissive and trusting God's will, was given this another puzzlement by Simeon, who held her child and said, I can die now. I've seen God's salvation. What must she have felt like? This man she never met, grabbing her child and saying, I can die now. I have seen God's salvation. How would you feel? They were astounded, perplexed, confused. In some translations, they marveled. They could not fathom it. One of my favorite phrases is a little Latin phrase that I memorized, and my daughter will tell me I pronounced it wrong, but so be it. Credo quia absurdum. It is about Christian faith, and it translates roughly, I believe because it is absurd. You have to chew on that a while. There are religious systems and cults which pride themselves on logic and pseudoscience, and they claim credibility by being approachable and sensible to the human mind. That's not what Joseph and Mary were experiencing. They were barely hanging on by faith alone, and then faith bolstered by direct angelic comfort. What a ride they had. They must have thought, this is crazy. How absurd that the Creator God would come into creation. How absurd that shepherds and wise men and old Simeon and Anna, whom we've never met before, would grab my baby and praise God for the consolation of Israel, the Savior come. This is just a baby. Where are the theologians, they might have thought, and the priests and the ambassadors and the certified officials and government agents? No, I get wise men and shepherds and old Simeon and Anna. It doesn't make sense, but I believe it because God works this way. By faith alone, Mary gave birth to a child by the Holy Spirit. By faith alone, Joseph changed his mind. He was going to divorce Mary, but instead stayed. By faith, Simeon and Anna believed that a mere baby could make a difference in the world, not just to Israel, but to the entire world. This Messiah couldn't be contained in Jewish expectations. He breaks free from every expectation, from every piece of human logic and all bounded definitions of limited love, and he brings good news to all people. Savior, he was a Savior offering love and forgiveness to any and all who would come by faith. You know, Jewish law required two witnesses to establish the truth of an event. Jewish law required two witnesses to establish the truth of an event. I wonder, we forget that little piece of knowledge. Are these the witnesses? Simeon and Anna in the temple waiting. Both old, both waiting, both inspired, it says, by God's Spirit, and both clinging with faith to God's promise. A God who works in mysterious and inexplicable ways, even through babies. Well, the same God is still with us. And Jesus promised the presence of His Holy Spirit with us until the end. And sometimes it looks like the end, but who knows? Who knows how and when God will act? Mary and Joseph were surprised. Faith in God is so often like that. Surprising, odd, and mysterious. And at the very last minute, into our darkness comes unexpected light and hope. To have faith while waiting, I think, is the message from Anna and Simeon. To believe in spite of the bad news all around is the message of Anna and Simeon. And to keep your promises in the meantime. And to believe that God keeps His promises. This is faith. May we faithfully wait on the God who keeps His promises in unexpected ways. Amen.
We're
receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the great love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit available to you right now. You have been blessed by God's presence. Now be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.